All of the dinim of Geiris are learned out from Maimon HaSinai. The Gemara learns out from the Pasuk that just like our forefathers Amar Matzino, just like in the days of Maimon HaSinai, the Geiris was done with Mila, Tfila, and Korban, and Kabbalas al Mitzvahs, Totu Ladoros, the Geiris should be accomplished through Mila, Tfila, Korban, and Kabbalas al Mitzvahs. The Gemara increases, Daftes Amin Aleph raises the question that Bizman, Shein Beis HaMikdash Kaim, we don't have the opportunity to bring any Karbanas. So who says he can be mekabel a ger bizman hazeh? The Mishnah says. How do the Tanoim know that gerim are able to convert bizman hazeh? So the Gemara says, because the Pasuk says, it says you can accept the ger throughout all of the future generations, and the derasechem includes also bizman shein beis hamikdash kayim. That's what some say, that the Gemara has a machlekes ha-Tanoim, whether if you have tzitzis, you don't have trelis, whether the trelis is ma'akev in the tzitzis. Machlekes Rebbe in the Chachamim, in Menachos, in Perikat Trelis. So the Balamor, Masechus Shabbos, and Babim Badlik, and Paskins like Rebbe, that trelis is ma'akevis. So the Ramban writes, and the Macham is that we heard that the Balamor never wore any tzitzis, because according to his opinion, the trelis is ma'akevis. And the Ramban says we don't Paskin like that, we Paskin like the Chachamim, that the trelis is not ma'akevis. So there's a Sefer HaChumash that's called the Revid HaZohar by the Vilna Dayan, who was a Dayan in the days of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon was not officially, had no official capacity in Vilna, but there was a Dayan. So the Dayan writes in his Sefer this suggestion, that maybe a mocker for this Psak Halacha, that Chelus is not Me'akeves, because it says in the Parsha of Tzitzis, you should put on Tzitzis, the Dor HaSechem, the Dor HaSam, throughout all the future generations. And it means even if you live in a generation where there is no tchelus is not available. So you see from that, just like the Gemara made a drasha, the Dor HaSechem, that you can be mekabel gerim throughout all the generations, so too you can wear tzitzis throughout all the generations. Not exactly the same. You could argue the point and say that over here, by gerus, the Chumash and the Techecha speaks about the possibility of living in a generation. The Chumash talks about the possibility of living in a generation where there is no Beis HaMikdash. So the Chumash talks about such a generation, and still says you can be mekabel gerim l'derasechem about all the future generations. For many generations, we didn't know what the tchelus was. There was no tchelus available, but there is no pasuk in Chumash that speaks about existence of such a generation. So maybe when the Chumash says vasalam tzitzis, the derosa means throughout all the generations that we're talking about when there is tchelus. Who says that the pasuk l'derosa refers to a generation when there's no tchelus? Anyway, but the Gemara says that when you get to the korban, that the korban is not miyakeh bisman shein beis hamikdash, you can be mekabel gerim, and the ger has to bring a korban like yishei bana beis hamikdash. When the beis hamikdash will be rebuilt, they'll have to bring a korban. The Mishnah lists off, this was one of the nine takanas of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, and he was the chief rabbi. Under his presidency, they made nine takanas. So some of the takanas were that they were mevatel previous takanas. Some of the takanas were new takanas, and some of the mevatel previous takanas. So the Mishnah says that there was a practice. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai was the chief rabbi for 40 years. Part of it was Man HaKurban. He lived with the Churban Abayis. Part is Man Abayis, part Lachas Man Abayis. So the Gemara says that after the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Gerim could no longer bring Karbanah. So the practice was that there would be Mafrish Rova Lekinah. They would set aside money, designate money, that this money is Kodesh B'Kdushas Domim Lamizbeach, that Likish She'ibonim Beis HaMikdash, if the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt during their lifetime. It happens that it wasn't. It's almost 2,000 years since those Gerim were Megayer, and they died already. But they set aside money, the She'ibonim Beis HaMikdash, you're going to use this money to bring the Karbanos HaGer. So what happened to all the money? All the money disappeared. So someone is Moel and Hegdash. Rabbi Yechon Zakkai saw it's taking a long time for the third Beis HaMikdash to be built. And all the money that the Gerim are setting aside is just disappearing. So what's the Seichel? They made a takana to discontinue this practice. No more Mafrish Rav Elokino. When the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, so they'll set aside money. They'll bring the Karbanos, but you shouldn't set aside money. So the Avnei Nezer has an interesting tshuva. He discusses, how come you don't find anywhere in the Gemara that someone who is Mechal Shabbos B'Shegeg set aside money? The Gemara says they would be Kosev al Pinkosa, they would write down that says Taken Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Shabbos. If somebody was Mechal Shabbos B'Shegig, if somebody ate Chela B'Dam B'Shegig, by mistake, he should keep a record and he should write down I'm chayiv to bring so many karbonis. Mechal Shabbos this week, he ate chayla b'dam that week, and Mechal Shabbos another week. You should keep track so that when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, we'll know how many karbonis I'm chayiv to bring. But it never says anywhere that anybody ever set aside money after the Churban HaBayis. It only says by the Gerim. Why only by the Gerim? So the Avnei Nezer has a Mechudish Dikah suggestion. He says that the Pasuk L'Derasechem tells you that whatever you're able to do is ma'ake, whatever you're not able to do is not ma'ake. He wants to suggest a very big chiddush. The pashtus is that that's not generally accepted. That bizman shebeis hamikdash hayakim, the karbonos were ma'ake. If a non-Jew will convert and have meal and tefillin, he won't bring the carbon, and it's bizman shebeis hamikdash hayakim, he will not be mitzarif to a minyan. That's usually not the accepted opinion. We usually assume the Rambam quotes a Tosefta that the Gemara quotes increases daf tesem and aleph. That a ger shemol v'tovah v'lohevi korbanai is a mechusi kippurim. It means that he's considered a goy with respect to eating korbanos. He can't give him a korban shlamim to eat, but he's Jewish ben ger to be mitzarf to a minyan. So the Avnei Nezer wants to say maybe it's not so. He thinks that maybe there's a mashmos. He thinks that some rishonim pashtus is not so, but that he's suggesting maybe some rishonim hold that kol zman doesn't bring the korban bizman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim. It's me'akib. It's manshei me'sam igdush kaim. You can't. So whatever you can't do is not me'akib. Whatever you can do is me'akib. So he says, it's manshei me'sam igdush kaim. You can't be makar of the korban, but you can still be mafresh the money. So since being mafresh the money is possible, so that would be me'akib. So that's why you only have it by ger. You don't find that anybody who is mechal Shabbos after the korban abay set aside money. You have that because of Pinkas. He would keep a record. He would write down to remember when the Beis HaMikdash will be built. I'm chayiv to bring so many korbanos chatos, having violated these averes. But you don't find by the other averes that the people would be mafresh the money. Only by the ger. So this is his suggestion, that by the ger, whatever he's able to do is me'akim. So he's able to be mafresh roiv alakinos. So then he's bothered with a question. So how could Rabbi Yechonim and Zakkai do away with that practice? But they're goyim. Since they were able to be mafresh the money, and the hafrasha of the money was ma'akev in the geiris, so how could he do away with it? So he says, no, since he did away with the Rabbanon, so you're not allowed to be mafresh it, so you're not able to be mafresh. Just like you can't be makor kabbonis, I can't be makor kabbonis, no beis hamikdash. So after he made exera the Rabbanon, so you're not allowed to be mafresh roiv alakinos. So if you can't do it, so you can't do it. So it's not miyakiv anymore. Before he made the takana that it's forbidden, since it was possible to be mafresh roiv alakinos, so he wants to say that maybe at that time it was miyakiv. It's a big, strong pilpul. So it's interesting. There was a Reb Chaim Oizer was a multifaceted individual, and among the many different things that he did was he raised money for the Bara Yeshivas, and he was in charge of raising money. He was the poisik of the whole generation. He was doing many different things. He was in charge of raising money for the Bara Yeshivas. Millions of dollars went through his hands, from America, from Europe, from South Africa, from all over the world. The money went through his hands. So he once went to the factory of a Jewish person, and he gave him a significant donation, and then the Jewish person who owned the factory was very proud of the fact that he was a gerish and his geir, and he shows Rab Chaim Moshe his ksav geir is hanging on the wall. So Rab Chaim Moshe reads through the whole ksav geir. This non-Jew who converted had a heart condition, and it was medically prohibited for him to undergo surgery, so he couldn't have any milo. So Rab Itzel Panavizha was a big chorif, and he paskin that he can become a ger without mila. He said, mila is only miyakiv when you're able to do it. If you're not able to do it, it's not miyakiv. Like the korban, it says, l'derasechem. So if you live in a generation, if you're an individual, where you can't do the bris mila, meisoechem achmas mila, or he has a heart condition, whatever the situation happens to be, so the mila is not miyakiv. So Chaim Moshe got very upset, and he told the guy that he's not Jewish, the conversion was not valid, and he sent a letter to Rabbi Itzel Panavizha, he should stop pastoring Shilas. Rabbi Itzel Panavizha was known for his pilpulim. He knew how to say he was the biggest Bal Mechadish of the generation, but the Gedolim in his generation didn't like his hachrois lepsak halach. They were very irregular. So Rabbi Chaim Oizer was very upset. So this Riyesh writes this whole story. But there were other Gedolim who did agree with Rabbi Itzel Panavizha on that. It's interesting, and they all went this mahalach like the Avnei Nezer. That's included in the Darasechem. Whatever you're not able to do, so it's not miyakif. So you say, if there's no water in the world, there's no mikveh, you can become a ger without tefillah. Without mila, without tefillah, without korb, nothing. It's questionable. The Gemara talks about the gerkot matbilim also al das bezin. So the Rishonim all ask, but where's the kabbalas al mitzvah? The child is an infant. So some Rishonim say, since he's an infant, he's a lab bardas, so you don't need kabbalas al mitzvah. Whatever he can't do, so it's not miyakim. So you can do away with everything. No kabbalas al mitzvahs. If he's a cherishoyte vekot, no kabbalas al mitzvahs. He has a heart condition, no mila. There's no water in the world, no tvila. You don't need anything. And no beis hamikdash, there's no korban, and can it be mafrish? So how does he become Jewish? So that's a problematic chiddush that Rabbi Tzila wanted to say. Rabbi Shua Lekutna was a famous goyin who wrote quite a few svarim. So one of the many svarim he wrote is a Sefer Achibar Chayshon Mishpat, that's called Yeshua's Israel. So he has two kashas, and he has one teretz. He says one kasha faremf is the other kasha. If you're learning out all the dinim from Maimon HaSinai, so how does the Gemara come up with a newfangled pasuk that a ger tzarech shloisha mishpat ksiv bei? When you're mekabel ger, you have to have a bezin present. He said, where do you find the Maimon HaSinai there was a bezin present? The Chazal don't say there was any bezin. What do you say, Moshe Rabbeinu? The Gemara says in the first parak in Sanhedrin, Moshe Rabbeinu had the status like a bezin agadol shel shivim v'yechot. So then you should require shivim v'yechot. So how did you make a compromise and say that it's sufficient with a bezin of shloisha? That's one kasha that he's bothered with. Then he has another kasha that he's bothered with. On the occasion of Maim HaSina, there was a Gilu Shechina. They saw something. They saw an Eshman HaShamayim come down. So Geris means a krisis bris between the Rabbanu Shalom and the Klal Yisrael, between the Rabbanu Shalom and this individual person. So whenever you have a krisis bris, you need the two parties should be there, should be both be present, and they should both enter into this contract. Midaitom. So how do you know you can be mekabel a ger l'doira for future generations without a gilu shechina? Maybe you always have to have a gilu shechina. If you're learning everything out from Maim HaSinai, so he writes a shtikel Torah. He thinks that the one kasha faremf is the other, but that's exactly why there was no need for a bezdin. At Maim HaSinai, the shechina was there, so you had the both dorim were there. The Klal Yisrael were there, and the shechina was there. So they made a deal. The doira is oilam. If you'll have a gilu shechina, then you won't need a bezdin. But the Chachamim and the Gemara assumed that you're probably not going to succeed in having a Gilu Shechina. So second best is, we learn from a pasuk that a Bezna of Shloshe can represent the Shechina. Because Elokim Nitza Badaskel, whenever there's a bona fide Bezna, honest to goodness Bezna of Shloshe Chachamim, so then we assume that the Shechina will come down to help them paskin. So he has this Chiddush that the Bezdin by Geiris, as in Sima Gimel, he wants to say Chiddush that the Bezin by Geiris is not just a Bezin Lekim Hadover, like in Eidus Lekim Hadover by Gittin Vikidushin. The Eidim watch on the side, they don't really participate, they just watch. So maybe over here it's a vort of a Bezin Lekim Hadover, Bezin should watch. He says, no, the Bezin is actively participating. The Bezin is the other side, the Bezin is the other party. They represent the Shechina, and they're agreeing to be Mekabel the Ger. And what if they don't agree to be mekabel a ger? Let's say the ger jumps in, the bezin is, they're swimming, whatever, they're all swimming, and the ger takes off his clothes and he says, jumps into this mikveh, and he says, I want to become Jewish. And they say, who are you? What are you? We don't know who you are, we don't know anything about it. He says, I don't care. He jumps in and he says, mekabel al mitzvah, believes in aseres hadibur, 613 mitzvah, jumps in. And they say, we don't want to have anything to do with this. So he quotes that by Kabbalah, say this bifnei bezin, that's a machlekes achrayim. But the Bezin's putting on their hat and coat and they're about to leave, and Edom come and they say, but we want to give Edus. And Bezin says, come tomorrow. They say, no. And they start saying the Edus. And it's against the wishes of the Bezin. So the Shuas Yisrael, Shua Lekutin quotes, says, Machlekes Hachareinim, is that called Kabbalah Seidus Lifnei Bezin? Because the Bezin wasn't interested in accepting the Edus. But he thinks over here, he has a right from a Gemara. He has a right from the Gemara in Kiddushin by the Sugi of Dovish Labalion. He thinks that by the Bezin, by Geiris, they have to agree to serve as the Bezin. They're representing the Shechina, so you have the both Tzdodim are in agreement on this issue of the Geiris. So that's why there's a Shaila. That's why there's a Shaila that came up recently. We never had this story. Can a Geir serve as a member of the Bezin for Geiris? Every so often we have a student in the yeshiva who's a ger, and other yeshivas have students who are gerim, and then they get smicha. So yes, Rav Soloveitchik, is it permissible to give smicha to a ger? So he said that Taisus quotes Rabbeinu Avraham Hager, so it sounds from Taisus that they gave him smicha. Rabbeinu Avraham Hager. He has the pshat in the Gemara, Koshim Gerim Nisot Yisar Pachas. So it sounds like they gave smicha. Okay, so maybe you can give smicha to a ger, but the question is, a ger can only be dan chaver hager. A ger cannot be dan a Yisrael. So what's over here? The bezdin is only a bezdin lekimando, but they're watching, or the bezdin is paskening, representing the shechina, or the bezdin representing klal Yisrael. The Beis Halevi writes on Parshas Lech Lecha, along the lines of Rabbi Shul Kutna, the bezdin is paskening on behalf of klal Yisrael that we accept this candidate for conversion. Shul Kutna says the bezdin is representing the shechina. So it's not a ger dan chavera hager. It's the ger is paskening on behalf of klal Yisrael, on behalf of the shechina. So maybe a ger cannot serve as a member of a bezdin. It's not just a din l'chatchila that you're not allowed to have a bezdin. You have a ger who serves as a member of the bezdin. The Mishnah in Hori says, if you have a bezdin that had one member was a ger, so it says the whole bezdin is puzzle. So the whole gerus is not good. So this is a question that some of the recent gedolim wrote about. Questionable whether it's proper to have a ger serve as a member of the bezdin. The Gemara learns out the psukim from the psukim of Chumash that first in Mitzrayim they performed the bris milah before Korban Pesach, so first they had milah, and then 7 weeks later before Maamar Hasin everybody had the tefillah and the mikvah. So that's the lechatchila, that's the proper order. First you have milah, and then when the bris milah heals you have to wait. It's an open wound. After the bris milah heals, then he's going to be tovel in the mikvah. What if you reverse the order? What if you do first tefillah and then milah? So this is a machlekes harishonim, and in Shulchan Aruch we paskin lechumre that misafik, you should repeat the tefillah again, b'li brach. Usually the ger, when he's tovel in the mikvah, the Gemara says tovel v'yala. After he usually kol hamitzvos kol mevarach aleihem ovel asiyos, and we say the bracha asher kedushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu before you put on the talis, before you put on the tefillin. And here the Gemara says, Akatik Avel Achazi, he's not Jewish yet, so he can't say the bracha Oyvel Asiyas, I can say Asher Kedushana B'mitzoyis V'tzivano. So after he's Oyla from the Mikveh, so then he says the bracha on the Tvila. So the Shaila is over here. Let's say first he had Tvila, then he had Mila. So we're Mahmed that if you reverse the order, it's not acceptable. So you have to repeat the Tvila again. So when he does the tefillah again, since it's misafik, because it's a machlekes harishonim, if it's necessary to repeat it, because maybe the seder is not miyakev, so in Shulchan Aruch, the Shach says that you repeat the tefillah without a bracha. There was a student here in the yeshiva who converted three times. First he converted by conservatives, by reform, I'm not sure. Then he was converted by Chabad in Honolulu. And then a week before he got married, he was a student in JSS. Week before he got married, so the Rebbe who was going to be Mitzad Kedushin asked him point blank exactly how did the Lubavitcher do the conversion. So it turns out that they did it backwards. They first did the tefillah and the mikveh, and then they did the milah. So he had to do the milah, had to do the tefillah again. He had to do the tefillah again. So when he repeated the tefillah a week before the guy's wedding, so they didn't say a bracha. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. If you have a little Jewish baby is born to a Jewish parents, so then you perform the bris milah on the eighth day. Milah bismana is even derech Shabbos, derech Yontif, or after the eighth day. What it's a din if you perform the bris milah toch shmeina? Is it acceptable? But the eved, there's nothing to do. So the question is, no, maybe you have to perform a hatofes dan bris. So that's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch, machlekes in Rishonim. There are more paskins in Yeridaya that if you did the milah toch shmeina, so you don't have to repeat it. And the Shach doesn't accept that Ramon, that the common practice is that you follow the Shach. Whenever the by mistake, or the Mezer, B'shogi, whatever, if they perform the Bris Milah, Toch Shmoneh, so we would insist on performing a Hatovas Dan Bris later. So here's a Shaila, that din of Milah, Toch Shmoneh, that goes on a Jewish baby, or Yelid Bayis. If I have an Eved Knaini, I have a Shivcha Knaini, so it gives birth to a baby boy, so when the baby was born, he's already an Eved Knaini. The mother's a Shivcha Knaini, so the baby's already an Eved Knaini. So that's a milush on mitzvah. What if I purchased an Eved who's an Ochri Gomor? So that's called Miknas Kesef. The Pasuk in Lech Lecha speaks about Yilid Bayis Miknas Kesef. So the Mishnah says in Masechah Shabbos that Yilid Bayis, an Eved Knaini who's born to a mother who's a Shivcha Knainis. So the milah is performed on Yom HaShmini, and the Rambam says it is Derech Shabbos. But if you have a Miknas Kesef, I bought a Goyish Eved. Someone owns an Eved. I bought him and I'm going to be mal him and tevel him l'shem avdus. So then the Mishnah says nima le'echod, you can perform the bris milah the day that he was born. The din of that you require shmini that's only by a Jewish baby. When the baby was born, he was already Jewish. Or when the baby was born, he was already an Avik Nani. So the Pashtas, based on the Mishnah, gives one the impression, let's say a couple is adopting a non-Jewish baby, and they adopt the baby right away, the same day he's born in the hospital, they adopt the baby, if such a thing is possible. Can they perform the Bris Milah? The Milah is going to be done the Shem Geirus. Can they perform the Bris Milah Toch Shmaino? Do they have to wait till the eighth day? So the Pashtas says that you don't need the Shmini. So there's a discussion. The Rabbi Natam holds that you do need Shmini. The Rabbi Natam is quoted by the Or Zarua and quoted by Tosfos Rabbeinu Yehuda Sir Leona Maseches Avodah Zarah. He holds that you do need Shmini. Tosfos, the Balei HaTosfos, were so upset about the Rabbi Natam Shita, they write the Rabbi Natam said the Shtikl Torah is not worthy of being quoted. So they don't recall what he said. He has a steer between two Gemaras, and if our emphasis is that a Tinik Ben Yomo didn't even have a shaila whether a little baby who doesn't know what he's doing, a goyish baby touches wine, does it become treif or not? So one Gemara says yes, one Gemara says no. So Rabbi Natam said a Shtikl Torah, if the baby is less than 8 days old, so he didn't even have an opportunity to convert. So we can't have we don't have any tainus against him. But if the baby's after 8 days old, he could have converted. So then, since he didn't convert, so we hold it as a strike against him. So Rabbi Natam obviously holds it. You can't convert. You can't do a milah of the Shem Geiris on a non-Jewish baby. Toch Shmaina. So Tosfos says Rabbi Natam said something. We're not going to tell you what he said. They just don't accept what the Rabbi Natam said. But you look at the other Rishonim, the Ozarua, the Tosfos Rabbi Yehuda, they quote this. I remember I was once at a bris. So I was talking and learning. So Rabbi Gifter didn't believe that such an opinion existed. So I showed him where the Tosfos was. He said, he doesn't know what it is. And we didn't have an Ozarua. So it can't be such a sheet. But the Nachrayim we have like that. The Chasam Sofer has such a tshuva. He talks about a Maharsha. And Perikah Blaz in the middle, at the end of the Perik, there is such an idea. Achrenim came up with such an idea independently of the Rabbi Natam. They didn't know the Rabbi Natam said it first. So lechatchila, I think people are machmer about that. If you adopt a non-Jewish baby, so you don't perform the Bris Milah till the Shmini. How can you adopt a non-Jewish baby? The ger has to have a kabbalas on mitzvahs. So some of the Rishonim say the Shittim Kopetzes raises that question. So some of the Rishonim say, I think Ksuvas Dafir Aleph say that since the baby is a cherish to be cotton, since they're not a bardas, they're not capable of having kabbalas on mitzvah, so it's not miyakim. Like we said, by the nilam, by the tefillin, by the karm, whatever you can't do is not miyakim. It's very strange. That's the whole essence of geiris, is the kabbalas on mitzvah. How can you say you can become a geir without a kabbalas on mitzvah? It's very difficult. So the pashtus is that's what we say zoch and the adam shleibefan of all about. The Kabbalah on mitzvahs means that's the Das HaGeiris. The non-Jewish candidate for conversion has to come and express his interest in becoming Jewish. What do you mean becoming Jewish? Becoming Jewish means keeping all the mitzvahs. So if it's an adult, he says, I want to become Jewish, I want to keep all the mitzvahs. If it's an infant, so then we assume that Zochin Le'odim Shalai B'fonov. So that's exactly what the Zochin is all about. That's all Pi Pashtus. The Gemara says, whenever you do an act of Zochin, let's say I want to give a gift to someone who's not here, so give the gift to someone who is here, and he makes a kinyan on behalf of the other person, so he's kainah, the other person is kainah. That's the principle of Zochin Le'odim Shalai B'fonov. The original, the first time it's mentioned in the Mishnayos, is an erevin, of all places, where you make an erev for all the people in the community, so you buy a box of matzahs and give it to one of the Shamir Shabbos, come to pick it up, to be Zecha Shutfis, on behalf of all the Shamir Shabbos who live here, and they're going to move in the next year, till next Pesach. That's the first time it's mentioned. It's discussed in Bar Mitzvah, of course, another Masechtas, but the first time Zoch Le'odim Shalai B'fonov is mentioned in Mishnayos is in Erevin. So the Gemara has a klal, if I give you a gift to be kohen for someone else who's not here, and we apply the principle of Zoch Le'odim Shalai B'fonov, so when the person finds out about it, that a gift was accepted on his behalf, and he says he doesn't want to be makir tovah to me, he says no thank you, he doesn't want to be kohen of the gift. So the Gemara says, if he's moicha, if first he hears about it, he says, that's very nice, I appreciate that, I have to send him a thank you note. And then 10 minutes later, he changes his mind, he says, I don't want to have anything to do with him, forget it. So the Gemara says, tough luck. Once he said he's maskim, so he's kind of the maton. But if when he finds out about it, his instinctive reaction, his initial reaction is he doesn't want it, then the Gemara says, if he's moicha, so he's not kind of the maton. So that's what the Gemara says, over here also, by a ger kotim, at bilamos of al-daz bezin, based on Zochin Le'odim Shalai B'fonov. So if later on when the ger finds out about it that they were megayer him, they did him a favor, the dinim an act of zachin, they were megayer him. So if when the ger becomes a gadol, when he becomes old enough to understand it, and his instinctive reaction is he doesn't want it, if for the first couple of years he's happy. And then at the age of 25 he falls in love with a non-Jewish girl and says, I don't want to be Jewish, so it's too late, fa-fa-fa, then he's Jewish already. But if right away when he reaches the age of bar mitzvah, he's moichi, he doesn't want to be Jewish, so then it cancels the whole zochen, and we assume al-pi pashut said it's a gloy Muslim afreh, he was never Jewish. Not that until that point he was Jewish, now he becomes a non-Jew, he was never Jewish. See, that's a shaila. Let's say we just had a case recently. A family adopted, a family had their own children, and then one of their children died. So they felt bad about the fact that they lost the child. They had married children, so one of their children died before he got married. So they decided to adopt two non-Jewish children. So they have this non-Jewish girl who's 11 and a half years old. She's soon going to have her bas mitzvah. And she keeps Shabbos and Kashrus, a young girl. She's brought up in a religious Orthodox home. She goes to shul. Mother even says she took it to the mikveh to teach what Taras HaMishpacha is all about. I don't understand how she did that. I was like, that's what she said. So the question is, whom do we speak to? If the girl is 11 and a half years old, whom do we speak to? Because by Bnei Noach, the Rambam says, that all the halachas l'moshe m'sina, the shiurim don't apply. So the shiur that you have to be yud bei shana v'yom echad to be a bardas doesn't apply to Bnei Noach. So in Hilchos Bnei Noach, this girl is a gedolah already. She understands what we were talking to her. She knows what Shabbos is, Yantav. She knows what it means. Once you're Jewish, you got to keep all the mitzvahs and you can't revert back to become non-Jewish. She understood everything. So are we supposed to talk to the girl and she should be mekabel all mitzvahs? And then the minute she goes to the mikveh, she becomes a ketana. Because now she's a gedolah, she's a goya. The minute she becomes Jewish, she becomes a ketana. But it's going to be higdila en yicholim limchos because she was megayer now as a gedola. Or do you say no? This is a ger kotta matbilim also adaz does. And since the minute she's going to convert, she'll become a ktana. She'll be Jewish. She'll be a ktana. So a ktana is a lav bazdas al pidin. So you have to speak to the mother. So he spoke to the mother and to the girl. But in such a case, Reb Shlomo Zalman has a psak on this. He says that that's not called a ger kotta. That's called a ger gadol. Right now the girl is a bas das, she's a bas noyach, and by bnei noyach it depends on how intelligent they are. She understands what geiris is all about. She knows until now we explained to her. She understood it. Until now she doesn't have to keep mitzvahs. She's brought up by a religious parent, so for shteitzah, she's keeping everything. And after she's tevel in the mikveh, she's obligated. She understood everything. So Reb Shlomo Zalman paskens in such a case that this is higdil ein yichalim limchus, because this is not a ger kotten based on zochin. This is a ger gadol. There was a big machlekes in Europe, and it's repeated here in America again. When you say you can adopt a non-Jewish baby and convert the child based on zochin le'adam shleibefanav, you're doing the person a favor. So the overwhelming majority of the poskim, including Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan, Mar Dasra, were of the opinion that it's only called a zechiyah if the child is brought up by an observant family. So the child is brought up by a non-observant family, so why is it an act of zochin? They stand a better chance of getting to Olam Haba if they'll remain non-Jews. Then if they become Jewish, they're obligated to keep all this whole heavy burden of 613 mitzvahs, and the parents are not observant. So how are they going to know? They won't have the slightest clue of what you're supposed to do. Parents don't keep kashrus, don't keep Shabbos, don't keep anything. If they'll be goyim, they'll probably observe the Sheva mitzvah. Stand a better chance. And most of the Paschim Hamel, that's not called an act of zechiyah. Unless the adoptive parents are observing themselves. There was always the minority opinion that disagreed and felt that it's better to be a Jew than to be a non-observant Jew than to be an observant non-Jew. Rav Soloveitchik held like the majority opinion. Rav Soloveitchik held that the parents have to at least commit themselves to some Jewish education, to something. If they don't agree to keep anything, to give the child any education at all, so why is it a schia? It's not considered a schia at all. The Gemara has a term, geri arayus. It's an allusion to the story in Sefer Malachim that the non-Jews from the city Kusa, that's a location in Chutz Lortz, were moved to Eretz Yisrael, and they were being attacked by lions, and that's very irregular. There are no lions roaming around in the streets in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't make any sense. So they understood that the Jewish God is Elokei HaAretz, and they better become Jewish. So they understood they have to convert. So they converted, but there was absolutely no Kabbalah on mitzvahs whatsoever. The Pasuk in Navi says they continued to worship Avodah Zarah, and it means if they continued to worship Avodah Zarah, there was no Kabbalah on mitzvahs on anything. They just converted. They didn't consult any rabbis or any Jewish people. They just converted, and there was no Kabbalah on mitzvahs. So the lions were satisfied. The lions stopped attacking them. But the Gemara says the conversion was meaningless. There was no Kabbalah on mitzvahs. There's nothing to discuss. The Tanoim had a machloikis in the days of the Tanoim. The Kusim already were observing a lot of mitzvahs. They weren't observing the whole Torah Shebaal Peh, but whatever was Torah Shebichsev, they were observing. And the Gemara even points out sometimes even to a greater extent than the Jewish people. Harbi medakten kibbal yosem Yisrael. Whatever it says in Torah Shebichsev, they were very medaktik on. Like Balei Tshuva are often very more medactic than people are from birth. So in the days of the Tanaim, how are they supposed to understand this phenomenon? How come the Kusim are observing mitzvahs? Is it just they picked them up by osmosis? They were living in Eretz Yisrael. They saw the Jewish people observe the mitzvahs. So they started observing a little bit, but they never converted a second time. So they're still Geri Arayis. The original conversion was meaningless, or should be assumed? No. And Shuvin is Gairu Belev Shalom. That's how Tosis writes the expression. Maybe historically they must have undergone a second gear. So it doesn't make sense that based on the original conversion, which was meaningless, and that they're not Jewish, so why should they pick up by osmosis of observance of mitzvahs? So we assume that Shuvin is Gairu Belev Shalom. We assume that the Kusim are Geri Emes. And then Reb Meir declared. Reb Meir sent one of his Talmidim, and they investigated, and they caught them that they were worshipping the different groups of Kusim. So they sent spies, and they found that they were worshipping Avodah Zarah and Hagrizim. So Rameh declared Dina Kakum. That's the end of the story is Dina Kakum. But the original psak was that the Kusim were Geri Emes. What it means is they were Shuvim Skyru Belev Shalom. So the premise of the Gemara is that Geri Arayis, the term Geri Arayis means that they're not Jewish. They only converted to satisfy the lions. The lions stopped attacking them. And Geri Emes means with a Kabbalah on mitzvahs. Then there's a Gemara in the end of the second parag in Yevamos, where the Gemara has a machlekes tatanaim, Rav Nechemya and the Chachamim. What if a non-Jew converts not l'shem shamayim? A non-Jew falls in love with a Jewish girl, and he can't marry the Jewish girl unless he's going to convert. So he converts. So he says, okay, he knows the whole story. The Jewish people have this historical tradition. He says, Mitzrayim, I'm Hasin. Okay, he goes for it. He says, okay, so he's going to keep Shabbos and Kashrus. He's so in love with the girl, he's going to keep all the mitzvahs. So he does a Kabbalah on mitzvahs, but he was not religiously motivated to do so. He's Geri Arayis. They're like lions attacking the person. That's why he's converting. He's Mizgar L'Shem Ishus. Or let's say he's Mizgar in order to get a good job in the Israeli army, or to get a good job in the Israeli government. They're not going to give such a job to a non-Jew. So he converts in order to get such a job. So the Gemara says, "Amachleik is satanaim." We paskin that it is good. The Gemara paskin is lamaskan and kulim gerim heim. So the Gemara there says, "Geri arayis are Jewish," and here the Gemara always uses the expression "geri arayis," one who converts because of the pressure of the lions, is clearly not Jewish. That's a contradiction. So Tosis explains in Yevamos and Daf Chav Dalam Mebeis, but this is and in Sukkah and Daf Ches Mebeis. So Tosis explains in a few more places that the term "geri arayis" has two different meanings. If the non-Jew converts and there's absolutely no Kabbalah on mitzvahs at all, like the original conversion of the Kusim, so the Goyim Gemurim, so the conversion is absolutely meaningless. You have to have a Kabbalah on mitzvahs. I don't know, some professor published a book recently, and they wrote that the first one who came up with this idea that a ger has to be mekabel on mitzvahs is the Shalosh Hatshuvos Beis Yitzchak from Yitzchak Shmelkish from Lemberg in the 1850s, and until then no one ever heard of it. This is the ABC of Geirus, that a Geir has to have Kabbalah on mitzvahs. You have a non-Jew convert, it's not Kabbalah on mitzvahs. Of course he's not Jewish. The Chiddush that they came up with, let's say a Geir wants to convert, he wants to keep all the mitzvahs, but let's say he wants to remain a member of the French nation, or a member of the Spanish nation. He doesn't want to become a member of the Jewish people. So that's what the recent Poskim came up with, such a funny Shaila. So they said that since Rus said Amechami Velakai Chalakoi Amechami, so that's not enough that the Ger says I accept upon myself to keep all of the mitzvahs. He has to accept also to become a member of the Jewish people. But you can't dray it backwards. You can't say as long as he accepts upon himself to become a member of the Jewish nation, even though he doesn't accept any mitzvahs at all, that's enough. No, that's in addition to the Kabbalah on mitzvahs. You have to keep all the mitzvahs. So the Gemara says Rusa Ma'aviyah was accepting Tum Shabbos. Vashat Alina Olim, she's accepting the laws of Yichud. Vashat Tamusi Yomos, she's accepting upon himself all the Mises Bezin. Vashom Ekover, she's accepting that if she gets Mises Bezin, she'll be buried in a different location. She accepted all of the mitzvahs Kalas and mitzvahs Chamuras. Then in addition, she has to say also Amich Ami. She's accepting to become a member of the Jewish nation. But that's a double poshut. You can't have a ger who doesn't have a kabbalah on mitzvahs. There's nothing to discuss. Of course the ger is not valid. The Gemara says that a ger needs a bezdin. The bezdin has to be present. Yeah. The question is, what aspect of the geris requires a bezdin? The bris milah? You have to have a bezdin. You have to have three men watching when the bris milah is done. So in Shulchan Aruch it says, lechatchila, the bris milah should be done in the presence of three people. What if b'diyevet it was done without a bezin? So the generally accepted opinion today is that b'diyevet it's not miyake. But it's not right. There are many moyalim in the New York area who will do lechatchila. They'll do a bris milah lechatchila on a non-Jewish baby, not in the presence of a bezin. So that's against the Shulchan Aruch. It says b'feirish. They quote in the name of this prominent rabbi. They you can quote all the rabbis you want. It's against the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch it says, for sure, lechatchila you need. Some hold even b'diyevet, it's not good. Lechatchila for sure. The milah is supposed to be done in the presence of the bezin. B'diyevet we paskin, the milah not done in the presence of the bezin, one can be mekel on that. What about the tefillah? The tefillah in the mikvah. So the Gemara says, the bezin of three people are supposed to be standing there. And they do the Kabbalah on mitzvahs when the person is in the tefillah. What if b'diyevet they did the tefillah not in the presence of the bezin? So if the milah didn't have a bezin, the tefillah didn't have a bezin, so when did you have the bezin? For the Kabbalah on mitzvahs. So is that sufficient? So that's two opinions in Tosfos, in Yevamos and the Gemara. So one opinion in Tosfos is that you only require the bezin liyikuvah for the Kabbalah on mitzvahs, and the milah and the tefillah b'diyevet, if it's done shaloi b'bezin, would be acceptable. The other opinion is no, that even the tefillah is liyikuvah, has to be done in the presence of the bezin. So that was the question, what do you do when you have a non-Jewish woman converted? So it didn't occur to the rabbis they should make a bezin of three women rabbis. That didn't occur to them. They're behind the times. Obviously the Bali Ateis has held, all the Rishonim held that a bezin of three women is not valid. Okay? You have to have a bezin of three men. So how can you have a bezin of three men? The woman is undressed. She's standing in the mikvah. She doesn't have any clothes on. So some tzaddikim and gedolim had a practice that they would have the mikvah lady see to it that the woman, the non-Jewish candidate for conversion, was tovel properly in the mikveh, and the bezin would stand outside in a different room. They would hear the way the woman would be splashing the water in the mikveh, and that would be sufficient. And others said that that's not sufficient, that the bezin has to see the woman being tovel in the mikveh. One can put on a bathrobe, a loose bathrobe, that's not a chatzitza, so it's not a problem. So there was a dayan in London, dayan Grosnas, label Grosnas, he was friendly with Rabbi Gerelik, who taught in our yeshiva. He learned in Radna at the same time. So Rabbi Grosnas wrote a whole tshuva to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, where he suggested that it's a sveik edin. It's two opinions in Tosfos, and it's not right to be, even though there were tzaddikim and gedolim who relied on this, so he thought it's not correct. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein wrote him back a response, it's printed in the sefer. Rabbi Moshe didn't know what his name was. He thought his name was Grosnam instead of Grosnas. Supposed to be a samach at the end, so he has a misprint in his chuvis, a chuvit to Dain Grosnam. So he agrees with him and he says, yes, that's his opinion, that if a woman converted and bezin is not present in the room, so they should really do over the tefillah again, b'li brach. It's a sveik adina, because we have no hachro on these two opinions in the Tosfos. Years ago in America also, there were a lot of nice rabbis, prominent Orthodox rabbis, who would not be present. That was their tradition. They would not be present in the mikveh room when the woman would be tovel in the mikveh. They would stand outside. And Rav Moshe Feinstein thinks that it's not right. They should repeat the geiris and their children. Let's say a lot of these women converted 30 years ago. Now they have already grandchildren. So Rav Moshe thinks they should repeat the geiris on the children on the grandchildren. One rabbi from the New York area always has opinions on everything, an original thinker. People don't know Gemara, have a lot of original ideas. So one rabbi came up with the original idea that Gemara has a din, the mishpacha shenitma or nitma, nitma with an ayin. If you have a mamzer sheni yadua, so is muta lover b'kol. So this rabbi thought, what are you talking about? this woman converted, she already has great grandchildren. What are you going to say that? They all have to convert? Nah, it's already nitma, forget about it. So that's not the generally accepted opinion. It's accepted that that only goes, that din of nitma, mamz shenidu, only goes on mamzeris or psule kohol. It doesn't go on a goy. If a person is a goy and no one knows that he's a goy, he doesn't know, nobody knows. He don't say whatever he doesn't know, not going to hurt him. A non-Jew is a non-Jew, and it doesn't help the fact that he's not known. In fact, it's interesting, we had many years ago, about 10 years ago, we had an Israeli dayan was visiting an yeshiva. So someone introduced, we were standing in the halls on first hall, someone introduced him to the rabbis, we were all standing around in the huddle, we were all talking to him, and then I asked him this shayla, because this was the hot topic at that time. So I asked this dayan from Eretz Yisrael, from the rabbanut, this shayla. So he said, that's ridiculous. So I said, do me a favor, print the tshuva, because there's some crackpot rabbi in the New York area who thinks that it's good. So he says, print the tshuva? They'll laugh at me. It's ridiculous. You have to have a shayla to print the tshuva. He held that it's so elementary, there's nothing to write a tshuva about. There are a lot of things that Rav Moshe refused to write tshuvas about because he said, there's no shayla, there's nothing to write about. And after he passed away, it was already too late. And people were arguing what the din is. And then people had to say, bal peh, that Rav Moshe felt that it's so ridiculous, he didn't even want to write a tshuva about it. Certain shayla about the shrotzim, about bugs. The shayla comes up all the time when a couple can't have children and they adopt a non-Jewish child and then they gyre it. So the baby doesn't say a bracha when he's misgayer, he's a little infant. He's too young. Does it make sense that the bezin should say the bracha? It in Tim Sulaima that the bezin says a bracha, should they say the bracha? Oivel asiyosim, alachar asiyosim. The Gemara says the reason why the ger doesn't say the bracha, oivel asiyosim, prior to being tovel in the mikveh, is because Akati Gabriel Achazi, he's a goy. How can he say Kiddushana b'mitzoyis of tzivanu? He's not Jewish. So the ger who's converting when he has the tefillah and the mikveh following the milah, so then he says the bracha after tavol v'yola. The Gemara says in Pesachim Dav Zayin, when he comes out of the mikveh, then he says the bracha. But if the bezin is going to say the bracha over here, so the bezin is Jewish already, so the bezin, it would make sense the bezin should say the bracha before the tavol the baby in the mikveh. So Rav Soloveitchik told us once in Shia that he only participated in one geiris at that time, as we thought. He only participated in one geiris in his whole life. There was a couple who couldn't have any children. They adopted a non-Jewish child. He said the husband was a Muslim from the yeshiva. They adopted a non-Jewish child, a girl. And then he was present by the tefillah. And then it occurred to him, this shayla, on the spur of the moment. He hadn't thought about it in advance, whether the bezin should say the bracha, oivel asiyosam, alachar asiyosam. And he thought, maybe since usually the bracha is recited lachar asiyosam by the ger, because he's not Jewish, so maybe the chachamim are misakin that this is not really a bracha on the maisan mitzvah, maybe it's a bracha on the chalois. And that was his chiddush, that whenever you have a bracha on the chalois, one opinion in the Rishonim is that by kiddushin, you say the bracha dafka lachar asiyosam, because the bracha, the brichas erisin, goes on the chalois erisin, not a brichas on mitzvah that should be recited oivel asiyosam. We do it like the Rambam. We say the bracha before the chosin gives the ring. But Tosis quotes other Rishonim, the Bali of Tosis say you should say the bracha after the chosin gave the ring. The bracha goes on the chalois hakidushin. And some Rishonim hold the bracha lachnisa bebisa shel Avraham Avinu should be recited dafke lachar asiyosam. That's a bracha on the chalois. Rav Soloveitchik thought maybe this too is a bracha on the chalois hageiris. The bracha should be recited by the bezdin after the geiris is done, not oivel asiyosam after the geiris is done. It's interesting. The Ravid in the Sefer Bali HaNefesh raises the question, and the Ravid in Shara Tvila writes that since the bezdin is Jewish already, so in this case the bracha should be recited before. Let the bezdin say the bracha oivel asiyosam before they matbil the baby and the mikvah. But others brought up the issue that maybe no bracha should be recited at all. So there was a great Hasidic Rebbe who wrote the Sefer Bnei Yisoscha, Rabbi Shmelech Dinover, Rabbi Shmelech Shapiro. So his Sefer Bnei Yisoscha, that's Hasidus. But he has another Sefer that's a little bit halacha, a little bit Hasidus. That's called Derech Pikudecha. Mishnah Berurah quotes it in one place in the Bir Halacha. So Derech Pikudecha, it's like a Sefer Mitzvahs. He lists off all the mitzvahs. He only goes till the middle of Mishpatim, Mitzvah Nun Gimel or something. Then he conks out. There are two versions, what happened to the rest of the Sefer, whether the rest was lost or the rest was never written, whatever the story is. So when he talks about Milo, so he talks about Milos HaGer as well. So he raises a different angle. He says, since the din is by Ger Katan, Higdili Yecholim Limchois, the baby can always, when he grows up, he can always say he's not interested and being Jewish, he can undo the whole act of Geiris, so maybe the bracha should be considered a Suffolk bracha. You're not allowed to say a bracha whenever you have a Suffolk, because at the time that you mal him, it may turn out, what are you going to say, Lama Lasa Geir? It'll turn out he'll be Meicha later on, so that'll be Ois Geiris. So this was the objection that that he raised. The Raibid writes not so. The Raibid writes in the Shara Tvila, in the Baal HaNefesh, that when you have a ger katan, you do say a bracha, and the business says the bracha over lasi asim. So there's room to dingzach and say maybe that raibit happens to be the shitasai. The raibit on the hasakas on the Rambam is by the same author as the Baal HaNefesh. The raibit seems to hold that safik brachas lahakel is the regular din as feka the rabbana lakula. So if the child is being adopted by an observant family, if the family is not religious, so it's not considered a schus. So if the child is adopted by an observant family, so the Rishonim say, on Ksubas and Daf Yud Aleph, that it's a Ruba Dalesa Kamon, it's probably not going to be Moicha. So the Raibid would say, L'shitosa, that you can say a Bracha based on the Roif. But we happen not to Paschal like that Raibid. We Paschal like the Ramam, that Safik Brachas L'Hokil is much larger. It's a much bigger Klal than Safik Derabbanan L'Kula. And even in cases where we would have said a Safik Derabbanan L'Chumre, you would follow a Roif, you still say, there's room to still say Safik Brachas L'Hokil. Some poskim say you don't even go baser roiv when it comes to a suffik bracha. So that's why it's still questionable whether is it proper that the bezin should recite the bracha by tefillah beger katan. Gemara has a din in Yevamos on Daf Ayin Ches, Muberish and his Gaira, if a non-Jewish woman is pregnant and she converts in the mikveh, b'no eino tzorach tefillah. When the baby is born, the baby will not require tefillah l'shem geiris. Why? So the Gemara says because there's no chatzitza. Even though the mother's body is completely covering over the uber, none of the water of the mikveh goes inside, doesn't touch the body of the uber, the Gemara gives a whole explanation why it's not an issue of chatzitza. So in the yeshivas, they ask a question, what's the problem? Why should the child need geiris at all? When the child will be born, he'll be born to a Jewish mother. Isn't that sufficient to make the child Jewish? Because some gedolim say no, that the child, let's say, and this gemara, the Shulchan Aruch quotes this, the Noberish and Nizgar b'noin et tzorach tefillah. So the Dogam Levava has a He'orah on the side, that's by the Nodi Behuda. He writes in his commentary on the side of the Aradeya that the Geiris is valid for the Uber only provided that Bezin is aware that the woman is pregnant. The Bezin will always ask that when a woman converts, so the Bezin will always ask if she's pregnant or not. So in case she is pregnant, so the Bezin is not only serving as a Bezin for her Geiris, the Bezin is serving as a Bezin for the Geiris of the Uber as well. If the Bezin was not aware that the woman was pregnant Bechlal, then the Uber was Mizgar Bali Bezin, so they'll have to repeat the Tefillah later on. So the Shaila is, why do you need a Tefillah at all? Let's say Bezin didn't know the woman was pregnant, but when the baby will be born, he'll be born to a Jewish mother, so isn't that sufficient to make the baby Jewish? So some Gedolim say, Anachinami, the baby will be Jewish anyway. So what's the whole pilpul in the Gemara that the baby needs Tefillah? So that's Rav Soloveitchik, though Rav Shimon Shkop has they printed in the Yivul HaYovlos when the yeshiva celebrated the 100th anniversary since the founding of yeshivas of Ben Yitzchak Hanan. That was a few years ago, 20 years ago or so. So they published the volume of Yivul HaYovlos and had Divrei Torah by all of the Rabbanim who used to give shir here in the past and all of those who were alive at that time. So they had printed a Divrei Torah from Rav Shimon Shkop that was never printed before. So he has along the same lines of Rav Soloveitchik, came out the same thing. The child will be Jewish anyway. So born to a Jewish mother, the child will be Jewish. But it's still, there's a mitzvah to be toivel. The Uber was not Jewish. It was Harasa Shalom Bigdusha. The woman was pregnant when she converted. So the baby started off as being non-Jewish. Then he became Jewish by a stunt, because he was born to a Jewish mother. By the time he was born, the mother was already Jewish. That's a trick. So since the baby was non-Jewish, and then he became Jewish by a trick, so there's still a mitzvah to do tvila l'shem geiris, but it wouldn't be me'akev. The baby will be Jewish anyway. Where do you have such a thing? So you have the Gemara in Yevamos has a machlokes hatanaim. When you have a non-Jew who converts, so you need mila and tvila. What if you only did mila? What if you only did tvila? So there's one opinion in the Tanaim that the tvila is not me'akev. One opinion that the mila is not me'akev. So if it's not me'akev, what do you need it for? I mean, there's a mitzvah of geiris. There's a mitzvah that a ger and his geir should do mila and tefila, even if they're not both miyakir. We happen to pass them that they both are miyakir. The mila and tefila are both miyakir. So that's one mahalach over there. Other gedolim assume not so. That if the bezin is not aware that the woman is pregnant, so the baby will be born. The baby will be chetzio akum and chetzio yisrael. The part of the baby that was developed before the mother converted, that'll be the chetzio akum. The part of the baby that developed inside her womb after she converted to she was Jewish, that part of the baby will be a Chetzi Yisrael. Such a possibility. The Dvar Avram has such a possibility. He quotes something named Rav Chaim about this, that you can have a baby who is a Chetzi Yakim, Chetzi Yisrael. So that's the common practice, that the Bezin always asks the woman in advance whenever a woman converts, so they ask her whether she's pregnant or not. Some Rishonim are of the opinion that by every ger kotim had bilam osa adas bezin, you should reconvene a bezdin when the child becomes bar mitzvah and have him do a kabbalas on mitzvahs in the presence of the bezin. You don't have to repeat the mila, you don't have to repeat the tefila, but there never was a kabbalas on mitzvah, so you should convene now. They say that Rabbi Yashiv likes that opinion, and that's what he recommends. That's the Ritvo writes like that on Ksubas, but that's not the generally accepted opinion. And it's very questionable, is it right to be machmer on this issue? The Gemara says, Kadesh lo lahotzi lazal gitna harishonim. When it comes to Yanam of Yuchsin, so it's not proper to introduce new chumers that we never had before. So for many generations, nobody ever heard of this ritvo. Ritvo was simply not available, and that was absolutely not the practice. So most do not have that practice. Most assume that higdili yichadim limchas, if he'll be moicha, he'll be moicha. Kol zman the child is not moicha, so you assume that he's Jewish. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he raises the question, what do you mean? Whenever you do an act of Zachan Liadim Shalai Befanov, we will megar the child when he was a little infant and he didn't know anything about it. So do we assume the geris is valid, the act of Zachan is valid? If he'll find out about it and he'll be meicha, then he can break up the zechiah. But because when he doesn't find out it's chal, it's good, or do you say no? If he finds out about it, then he's happy about it, then the Zechiyah takes effect. But if he never finds out, let's say we tell him he was adopted, but we never tell him he was converted. So we never tell him that we did the act of Zochin on his behalf. So do you say that he's simply not Jewish? He has to find out that you did the act of Zochin. And then if he's happy about it, then it's Chalam Afreya. Or do you say, what do you mean Chalam Afreya? If he doesn't find out, he's also Jewish. If he finds out and he's not happy, then Yecholim Limchas. So Moshe Feinstein brings the Raya from the Gemara in the end of the first parak in Gittin. The Gemara talks about sending a gift to someone else. I give you a gift to be kind of a Pliny, and then Pliny dies before he ever finds out that a gift was received on his behalf. So the Gemara says that he still says Zachal Elam Shloi Befanav, even though he never found out about it. So Moshe Feinstein said the same over here. He says he thinks it's psychologically it's recommended. You should tell him that he was adopted. You should tell him he was converted. You should tell him the whole story. But he says, strictly speaking, even if you never told him, he thinks that still, he still applies Zochin Le'olam Shalei B'Fanav. It's not that Zochin only works if he finds out about it, and he's happy about it, then it's Chalam Afreya. He never has to find out about it. On one occasion when they asked Rav Soloveitchik, so he brought the same Raya from the same Gemara, and on another occasion they told him that Rav Moshe Feinstein brought the Raya, then he said, you can dingzach. So he said, how you can dingzach? So he said, maybe the din is that when you do an act of Zochin on behalf of the other person, if he finds out about it, then he says he's happy, then it's chal. Aye, but the Gemara says he died. So the Gemara says he was kind of ready, goes to his Yorshim. He said, yeah, this chus moment goes over to the Yorshim. That just like if the father would have found out about it, he would say he's pleased by the receiving of the gift. So the father could be kind. So now goes Birusha. All chus moment that a father has go Birusha to the children. So when the children find out about it, so then it's chalam afreya. But by a ger, you can't say it goes Birusha. So if the ger is going to die, he's never going to find out that they ever did an act of zochin for him. So he can't really prove conclusively from the Gemara that it's going to work. But the pashtus is like that anyway. That's where it's usually assumed. Every case of zochin, the other mishlag b'fanav, the zechiyah is chal right away. You don't require that he should find out about it later and then say that it's chal l'mafre. If he finds out and he's unhappy about it, then you could be moicha. We have this phenomenon that in recent years we have more gerim than we ever had before. So it's very strange. We're trying to understand what this is due to. So the Mabit was a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Kare. He wrote a sefer Beis Elokim on Hashkofe. It's used a lot by the later Achrayim. So he has a suggestion that's famous. It's attributed to the Ger Tzedek in Vilna. He said like that also, but it's a few centuries before, from the 1500s, not from the 1700s. So the Mabit writes in his Sefer, when the Rabbanu Shel Olam went around to all the nations in the world and he offered them the Torah, so they all turned it down. He gave it to the Jewish people and they said they accepted it. So he said, you really believe that all the Goyim turned it down? There must have been a few Goyim who did, who were interested in accepting the Torah. But Mistama, they went Basar Raiv, so the majority weren't interested. And all the Jews, it said by the Jews, Vayan Kolahom Kula Vayomer Kola Shadiv Hashem Nas Min Ishma. So Pasha Pshat is Kuloi. Every single Jew said they wanted it. So the Mabit writes, not so. He says, you mean every single Jew said they wanted the Torah? Mistama, there were some Jews who were not interested in receiving the Torah. So the Mabit says, Mistama, before the Seif Hayomim, before the Achres Hayomim, the Rabban Shalom is going to straighten out the Cheshbonah. So all of those who were descendants of the original non-Jews who were interested in becoming Jewish, but they were outvoted because he went by the majority. So Mestama, their descendants will now become Min HaShemayim, they're going to see to it that they should become Jewish. And all of those Jews who, today, who are descendants of those Jews originally who were never interested in becoming Jewish in the first place, the Mestama Min HaShemayim, they'll see to it that they should convert out. So that by the time Mashiach comes, everybody will be in the camp where they belong. All the Jews will be descendants from those Jews who wanted to become Jewish, and all the non-Jews will be those who were not interested. So we're trying to, we're hoping for the Achris Hayamim to come already, but until it comes, so we still are in the business of converting people. Agut Yor.